Welcome to another reading in the book of Luke. As we read the book of Luke through the lens of the parable of the sower, and in particular, as we read the book of Luke looking for what it looks like to see life's cares, riches, and pleasures choke out the word of God. Today we're going to apply that to life's cares, riches, and pleasures in the lives of our children. Before we look at Luke 17, I want to say how grateful I am to be surrounded by such a good and godly bunch of fathers. Those of you who are older than me, and even those of you who are younger, I want to acknowledge that in many ways you have set a pace for me. You have been an encouragement to me as a father. And by your example, you've been a source of correction even. You've been faithful to your King. And in that context, he has led you to be faithful to your wives and to your children. And as I said, I'm very grateful to be among your number. Even though those of you who now have children who are grown up and left your homes, I think that one of the things that you have often reminded me of is that your work is really never done. That you continue to be a father. You continue to be concerned about the very same kinds of things, maybe in their adult lives now, that you were concerned about when your children were young and at home. So along that line, today we're going to look at Luke 17, where we're going to listen to Jesus' words from the lens of the parable of the sower, but thinking about our role as parents, in particular as fathers. And we are going to pick up where we left off yesterday with our children. Whatever God was leading us to do in their lives, we're just going to see if, regardless of their age, that we can continue to be his voice, his hands in our children's lives. Our goal is that in the lives of our kids, that the fruit of the kingdom would be produced. So in order for that to happen, we're going to have to also be aware of the dangers and the traps of life's cares, riches, and pleasures that are just set for our children, and how we can teach them and guide them and set an example for them not to fall into those traps. Now, in this passage in Luke 17, Jesus is talking more broadly than just fathers relating to their children, but we're going to focus on this passage thinking about fathers relating to their children. So when Jesus says to his disciples, things that cause people to sin are bound to come, as fathers, we need to hear this and say, wow, things that are going to cause my children to sin, those kind of things, they are bound to come. Jesus continues, but woe to that person through whom they come. Let's think a little bit about that. What about your children? Do you know your children well enough to know what things might cause them to sin? What things, what part of, if we're thinking about in terms of the parable of the sower, what part of life's cares, life's riches, and life's pleasures will be very tempting to your children to cause them to sin? Let's think about some of the questions along that line. What are your kids so afraid of and worried about that they would ignore what God has to say and they would prefer to live a life in fear and anxiety rather than trusting God? In other words, they would prefer to trust their fears rather than God who will protect them. The very real possibility is that your children's cares, their fears, their anxieties, they will actually lead them to, instead of trusting God, to disobeying God. Another similar question. What riches of life have caught your kids' attention and captivated them so that they would disobey God just to get them and to hang on to them rather than trust God? Trust God and wait for them to come in his time. What things have so captivated your children? Along that same line, what pleasures of life are guiding them? And those pleasures that they enjoy so much that they would actually rather be enslaved by the gratification of those pleasures than free to obey God. Do you know your kids well enough to know the traps that are set for them already, these things that are bound to come? Now, the cares of life and the riches and the pleasures of life, they're always going to be present. Sometimes it's easy to dismiss them thinking, well, they're just children. But the same kinds of cares, the same kind of fears and anxieties that we have as children, we still deal with those as adults. The same kinds of wanting more and more and being selfish, life's riches, that still plagues us as adults. The same desire for pleasure and allowing pleasure to actually rule us rather than obeying God, that can still plague us as adults, obviously. Jesus says that these things are bound to come. Dads, we need to hear that. Your kids are going to be entrapped and ensnared. At least that's going to be the goal of their enemy. And Jesus concludes with this thought in that line. He says, but woe to that person through whom they come. On the front end, we need to resoundly admit that we do not want to be that person through whom they come. There's a whole lot more to be said here than this, but we will start by saying that we want to live our lives as an example of those who have produced the fruit of the kingdom in our lives rather than have it be choked out by our own cares, our own pursuit of life's riches, and our own desire for life's pleasures. We do not want to be numbered among those who set a poor example, who either tacitly or implicitly approve of rebellion against God in the pursuit of life's cares, riches, and pleasures. And Jesus is clear, woe to that person through whom they come. I'm reflecting a little bit on this passage and thinking about the book of Proverbs, where it mentions specific groups of people through whom these things that cause people to sin are bound to come. I'll just mention a couple of those. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, it describes the scenario of the friends of your children that will cause them and lead them to sin. Friends who in particular that will promise quick and easy money and friends to share it with, leading them into immoral and illegal events. Another group of people that will cause your children to sin would be like the adulteress and the, whatever the male equivalent of that is. Those who will promise your sons, enjoyable sex and no strings attached. Those who will promise your daughters the attention, the adoration that they deserve, but without giving them, of course, the commitment of to you and to you only till death do us part. Another one who can ensnare your children would be the angry man. In Proverbs 22:24, it says, don't hang out with somebody who is angry and lives their life that way, because that anger and that kind of life is contagious. They will lead you down that path. And then there are just the broad categories in Proverbs, let's say 26:28, of the flatterers. Those people who, rather than will tell you the truth about what is wrong and the path you're heading, they'll just flatter you, and they are like those who spread a net for your feet, and they encourage you down the path that you're going, only for you to fall in that trap and then suffer. Those are just a few examples of those kind of people through whom they come. But Jesus says, you do not want to be one of those people. And as fathers, we need to stand in between those kind of people and our children. And before our children ever encounter those kind of people, we need to raise our children so that they will not allow life's cares, life's riches, and life's pleasures to choke out the word of God and to lead them to be unfaithful to their king. Jesus continues, for those through whom those temptations and those traps come, Jesus says it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. And then he says, so watch yourselves. Dads, we do not want to be numbered among those who lead our children to sin, who cause our children to help them make sense out of their fears guiding them rather than God's word, the opportunities for riches to guide them rather than the riches of the kingdom, and the pleasures of life to guide them rather than the pleasures of the kingdom. So again, to what Jesus said, these kind of people, they're going to be present in your children's lives. Some of them will just be their peers. Some of them will be a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Some of them will be a boss or a professor. Some of them will be a sports star or some other hero to them. Jesus says, you do not want to be numbered among those who lead your children to rebel against God. Watch yourself. And Jesus continues, we have a far more glorious option. Rather than to be numbered among those who lead our own children to sin, we can actually be involved with God to correct our kids and turn them back toward their King. We can be numbered among those people in their lives who encourage our kids, to swear their allegiance to the King and to live their lives right now in anticipation of the certain day that will come when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. We need to be among that group. So Jesus continues, this is how you play the role of being among that group. If your brother sins, and in this case, go ahead and just write down if your children sin. Rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you and say, I repent, forgive them. Here we have no passive love or permissive love. We have an active correction going on in the role of, in this case, fathers to their children. Actually correct them when they are heading down the wrong path. Be the kind of father who recognizes that your children's cares, the riches of life that they are pursuing, the pleasures of life that satisfy them, that all of those things need to be subordinate to the cares of the kingdom, the riches of the kingdom and the pleasures of the kingdom. Be the father who recognizes that your children's enemy will use life's cares, riches, and pleasures as traps to ensnare your kids and to actually choke out the word of God and leave your kids living unproductive, unfruitful lives for their king. And the danger is this, that in the short run, that they will face their king with nothing good in their hands when they stand before him. And it gets even worse, that they will join those who, by their example, their lives, they actually encourage their own children and grandchildren to sin against their king. Fathers, we have a unique position in the lives of our children. In some ways, our children will come to understand who God is through the way we have related to them. And so one of the things that needs to always stand out is we must only point in the direction of what is good and what is right and what is true. And that means that we are often going to have to rebuke and correct our kids. And another thing that reflects the glory of God is this, is God's patience and his forgiveness. And here in this passage, we see that right before our eyes too. He says that even though our children may sin against us 7 times in a day, they may disobey us again and again. And 7 times they come back and say, you know, Dad, forgive me. Then we need to forgive them. And if we will not forgive them, if we bring up their past sins, if we are keeping records of wrongs, we are unintentionally or perhaps intentionally saying that that's how God also is going to treat you. That when you sin against him and when you ask for forgiveness, he really doesn't forgive. He remembers all of your sins and he is still relating to you on the basis of all your sins. One of life's lessons that all of us as children need to learn, and if we don't learn it as children, we need to get a firm grasp on it as adults, is that repentance and finding forgiveness, those two things are always available. The truth that repentance and forgiveness, those two things overcome sin. They overcome the sins we commit when we act out of fear and anxiety. They overcome the sins that we commit when we are pursuing life's riches rather than the riches of the kingdom. They overcome the sins of pursuing life's pleasures rather than the pleasures of the kingdom. So, dads, we need to be crystal clear about God's commands and following him. And if our children sin, we need to correct them. And if they repent, we you forgive them. And in doing this, we model the way our Heavenly Father treats us. Dad, we must not be numbered among those who lead our children to sin. And if by our poor example we have guided them in that path, then we have the same option. We confess to them that we have sinned, that in our anger we have said things that we shouldn't have said, that in our impatience we have done things we shouldn't have done, and ask for their forgiveness. That is always an option for us to glorify our Heavenly Father, and that also points our children in the right way if we will own up to our rebellion. And lastly, there are things that are going to come that are going to cause your children to sin. Don't be naive about that. Recognize that today we are setting an example and we are disciplining them and caring for them in a way that when those things come, that they can stand. They can trust their Heavenly Father in spite of their fears. They can obey Him in spite of the life's riches that seem just at their fingertips. And they can be captivated by the glory of their Heavenly Father rather than by the pleasures of this world. Holy Father, empower us to be parents, in particular fathers, who reflect your glory. Guide us so that we can guide our children. We pray for this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.